11:13 in Paris, 10:13 here in London. You're listening to Sunday Brunch with me, Emma Nelson. Now, 250 years ago, a French Huguenot refugee arrived in London and set up a workshop specialising in military and regal embroidery. Hand and lock have come to become synonymous with the highest quality of embroidery in the world, and it's celebrating its birthday this year. Robert McCaffrey is from Hand and Lock, and he joins me in the studio now. Welcome to Monocle 24, Robert. Lovely to see you. For those of us who are not intimately acquainted with high-end embroidery, tell us a little bit about what Hand and Lock have always done.
Well, Hand and Lock, originally 250 years ago, M Hand was making military laces, which are not the kind of laces that you would find on frilly knickers. They are the laces that you find on military regalia, and they're actually gold, and there's gold wire all the way through them. So these military laces were where the business began, and later he added actual gold work embellishments, which... it's hard to describe unless you've been involved in any kind of military ceremonies, but it's the badges, the blazer badges, the cap badges, and they're made out of metal bullions.
Goodness me, so it's actually, there is metal being woven into this, in this kind of stuff. It's an absolute niche practice, isn't it? And it was a French idea that came over to the United Kingdom.
Not really. Actually, if you go back even further to the Middle Ages, there's Opus Anglicanum, which is a British embroidery technique that uses the metal again, but uses it in a different way. There's a thing called underside couching, which is very intrinsically British and was very clever. On the big copes that the priests would wear, the gold work would be ran through it, but it would be sewn in such a way that it was hinged and therefore the fabric could move, so it caught the candlelight and obviously made for very dramatic shows for the churchgoers. That was intrinsically British, but the gold work that came later with M Hand was very much to do with ceremony and military. Very hard, you couldn't possibly wash it, it certainly wouldn't be flexible or movable.
Even though if you put too much gold in it, it does go a bit squishy.
Yeah, we keep it at 2% because anything more than that and you're basically wearing a jelly.
Which isn't so great.
No.
Especially if you're wearing, you know, if you're in your full military regalia, you don't want jelly epaulettes.
No, you
do
don't
you?
Want the gold melting down or going all spongy or soft or losing its shape. If it's supposed to look like a lion, you want it to stay looking like a lion.
The astonishing thing about hand and lock embroidery, and I'd absolutely encourage everybody who hasn't become acquainted with high-end embroidery to go to Hand and Lock's website, because you get a slight idea of just how hard this job is. It's incredibly intricate and incredibly tricky, isn't it, to be a high-end, to be an embroiderer at the level that you work at?
Well, we use embroidery like it's a collective term, but within it there's multiple disciplines, such as goldwork, tambour beading, silk shading, and the embroiderer is much like a doctor has to know how to treat a human being, a vet has to know how to treat 50 species of animal that may walk through the door. Embroidery is much like that. They have to know everything. Someone may come in with a 1920s flapper dress that needs restoration, and that would be the tambour technique. Someone else might come in with a military belt that needs goldwork restoration. So they have to know all the different disciplines. Hence why it's quite hard to find the right people to do these things, because it's fine knowing one. We need them to know all.
We'll come to that in the middle, in the sort of the future of hand and lock and your recruitment process. But am I right in thinking that when you recruit people, you don't necessarily recruit an embroiderer who has 20, 30 years of experience? You quite like to get them fresh and young, and so you can teach them the hand and lock way.
Definitely. I think it's more potential. We run a placement program, and we have interns usually partway through their degree. And if they actually seem to have a natural talent for embroidery, we're always interested to sort of see, okay, when you finish, you know, let us know, maybe come back, there might be a job opportunity. We're a fairly small studio and there's a fairly low turnover of staff, but when you spot someone that's got a natural embroidery talent, you kind of want to keep in touch.
Where do you get your talent from?
Probably our placements. Most of our students that come and stay with us and do maybe a 2 or 6 month internship, that is where most of our staff come from. Juliet, our lead embroiderer at the moment, she came the more conventional route, applying with a CV, coming over, doing a trial day, and then getting the job. That was quite unusual for us.
the Juliet you speak of is your chief technician, isn't she? And she's what? She's 25, 22. She's 24 years old. So she's not exactly sort of like long in the tooth when it comes to skills. But by the time she arrived on your doorstep, she already had years and years of training, didn't she? Is this because there's of this great rivalry between France and well, Hand and Lock and that other company in Paris, which I'm sure you're going to tell me about, where you're the two greatest in the world and you know, you quite like to have the upper hand on each other.
I like the playoff here, but I don't think it's quite like that. Lesage is very, very different to Hand and Lock, and the company is Lesage in France, and we love them, and we've been involved with them for years. They have a very different specialisation, which is much, much more couture. If you're thinking the Dior dresses with the flowers on it, that's what they would do. If you're thinking maybe Burberry, that would be us. So, I mean, even Lesage came to us to learn how we did our gold work because they were curious. We haven't yet gone over there to learn how they do their tamber beading, but fingers crossed.
Be all right. Have you not had the phone call yet?
No, press trip.
But tell us a little bit more about, you know, about Juliet and your head technician. What was her background? Because if you are recruiting from young people, one never knows whether there's someone listening now who's busily embroidering a monogram and is just thinking, that's my calling.
Juliet, she was trained by someone who trained at Lesage. So she has the best couture training. Then she came to Hand and Lock and was essentially taught the monogramming, because it seems like a little thing, literally little thing, just a couple of letters on a Savile Row shirt, but there's all the letters of the alphabet, there's all the numbers, there's all the fonts, there's different stitches, there's different directions. So there's an entire language of embroidery to be learned across just those letters. So she had to learn that, and that kind of creates patience and basically tests the resolve of an embroiderer. If they can sit there hour after hour and do that, that's what usually breaks an embroiderer. If they can't sit there and embroider hour after hour after hour, they go off and get a job in Tesco. It's the actual sitting at a frame continuously that's probably the most challenging bit. And Juliet has the temperament to do that, and she has the skills, and she's young enough to learn new skills, which is really key as well.
Tell us a little bit more about, if you were to turn up on Hand and Lock's doorstep with a full set of embroidery skills, what exactly would you be working on? You've mentioned the fact that you've specialised in the past in military, but what is on Hand and Lock's book now?
A lot of designers who are maybe borrowing detailing from the military. So there's a European designer called Haider Ackermann who a few years ago came to our studios and started like going through the drawers and pulling everything out and pinning them to his own outfit because he wanted this sort of military aesthetic incorporated into his clothing. So he went away and placed ginormous orders with us, which was fantastic. And then it started to tick in. Next, there was Burberry, and there's been other designers, Ed Marler, but they just keep on coming through, and they might want something small, haute couture, one-off piece, or they might want to do an entire production collection. Vivienne Westwood, even with the most recent collection, took some quite obscure pieces from Hand and Lock and did what Vivienne Westwood does best and kind of repurposed them and kind of made these shabby chic but amazing pieces.
We've mentioned several times that the people who you recruit are young. But how hard is it to find an embroiderer, especially in the United Kingdom nowadays, who's got that passion and has got that ability and that patience?
We're optimistic that it's going to get easier. But I think there's been an emphasis on non-craft related skills in the UK for a long time. So people aren't encouraged to do jobs with their hands. They're supposed to do their jobs with their keyboards. And I think now there's a bit of a return to that. I think it's a sad fact that there's the Hand and Lock Prize for Embroidery. This is a charity we operate to encourage the use of embroidery within fashion, because many fashion students are almost taught that the job of fashion is to manage a production line, not to actually do the embroidery or do the cutting or design the prints with your own hands. It's like you're going to be a manager in a fashion studio. You're not actually going to get your hands dirty. That will be done by someone else. But now it's kind of returning slightly towards that. The Hand and Lock Prize for Embroidery tries to encourage the use of embroidery in fashion. And Quest, the Queen Elizabeth Scholarship Trust, actually gives money to students who want to learn these specialist skills, be it book restoration or leatherwork or embroidery. But these are two charities. It shouldn't be the role of charities to try and get people into skilled labour.
Robert McCaffrey from Hand and Lock, thank you very much for joining us on Sunday Brunch, and happy birthday to you.